Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And if you're carrying your old luggage before Christ, trying to bring it into your Christian faith, you're either not saved or you're miserable or both. Found 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 20. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we honor God's word? And the Bible says, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistine, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after the manner, saying, so shall it be done unto the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered and came again after the former manner. And when the words were heard, which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Our Heavenly Father, it's an inspirational text that we have just read. Even the world knows the story of David and Goliath. It is applied to sports teams and different conflicts that we see in life. And this is no sporting account. This is life and death, good versus evil, God's man against the enemy's man. And we know how the battle went, and it has inspired us for generations. And I pray this morning that as we consider the ultimate enemy, Satan himself, that we would be inspired by past conflicts, battles that have been won and lost, and the faithfulness of your people in doing so. And I pray that we would be found ourselves standing in the gap, confronting the enemy, doing what you expect us to do because it is right. I pray that you'd use our lives, please, for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last week, we started talking about why doesn't God just kill Satan? Who is Satan? Well, Satan is a murderer and a liar in John 8:44. He is an agent of darkness in 2 Corinthians 2:11. He can transform himself into an angel of light. Sad to say, the Bible warns against even preachers at times that look like they're the real deal, but they're being used of Satan because they can make themselves, Satan can make himself look so good. He binds the lost so that they cannot see the truth. And 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You and I wonder at times, man, we love the message of the gospel. We love the story of Jesus Christ. We love the difference it's made in our life, and we are shocked that other people won't see what we're trying to share. And the reason, one of the reasons is Satan has blinded them. In Matthew 13, Satan snatches away the seed of the gospel so it can't grow in the heart of the hearer. And the list goes on. So obviously, we have a deadly enemy. that it would seem like the world would be much better off if he were just gone. And God has the power to do that. And for some reason, he does not. So we have given you two reasons last week to be exercised by him, as obviously he exercises the Christian, number one. The Bible says in Genesis that the cursed is the ground for thy sake. Say that with me. For thy sake. Now, obviously, people will say, well, obviously, the curse is because of sin and all that took place. But God recognized in a sinful world, you and I need a struggle for the exercise, if you will, for the strengthening of our faith, for the some of the struggles that we go through only enhance our Christian life. We don't like it, but it helps us. James 1, 2-4 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work. What's that saying? It's let patience have her perfect work. And in other words, you can't hurry the process. Ever gone through a struggle and think, Lord, when's this going to get over? We want to hurry it. I've seen people go through loss and grieving. And one of the things, I know loss, I know grieving. And one of the things when you've gone through a loss, you want to hurry it up. The pain is so real. You say, Lord, what can I do to speed this up? You can't. Let patience have her perfect work. Just hang in there. Be patient. God is going through the process that you can't hurry. And in that process, he's making you something exceptional. And it's brutal. I won't downplay it. Let patience have her perfect work so that ye may be perfect or mature and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. God's trying to make you that jewel that he can use in a powerful way. He exercises us by using Satan to do that. Not only does he exercise us to increase our spiritual muscles, if you will, he excises the body, or he excises, if you will, a surgical term that if you have a tumor, the doctor will go in and excise it or cut it out. And at times, God uses Satan to excise the body of Christ, to expose the fakers, the Klingons, those that aren't real. They're just here, and they look like they're playing the part. But obviously, they're not real. 1 John 2:19 says, they went out from us because they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. John 6:66 says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. In John chapter 6, Jesus had said, unless ye eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. Well, that's kind of gross. That doesn't seem like a happy line. Oh, boy, I'm so attracted to that. And you know, there are times in church where I may say something, not me, other preachers may say something that you don't like to hear. I would never do that, you know. But there are times in, honestly, not for hands this morning, but have you ever been uncomfortable by something that was said? I have. I'm thinking, oh, I kind of wish they hadn't gone there. Jesus went somewhere where the crowd didn't want to hear it. And what he was saying is, you got to be all in with me. There's no partial. Oh, I'm partly married. I'm almost married. I used to, for a while, I taught the junior high Sunday school class. We always had a time. I'd ask how their week went and all that. And so one of our students was playing sports, and they had a game that week. And I said, so did we win? And the answer was almost. Well, that sounded great. That was hilarious to me. But no, there's not an almost win. You either won or you lost. We almost won. And I really liked it. I'd never used that when I was his age. I wish I had, you know. But there's not an almost following Christ. You're either in or you're out. And Jesus requires you to be all in to follow him. And from that point, they no longer followed him. And someone will say, well, no, that's not Satan. That's their choice. Don't you think Satan was right there whispering in their ear, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this? Has Satan ever said that to you? You can't do this, you can't do this. And I want you to know that where Jesus is, Satan isn't far behind. When you walked into church this morning, Satan was either in front of you or in back of you. Someone will say, well, Stan, I walked in with my wife. Is she Satan? No, that's not what I said. Okay? But when you came in this morning, I'm telling you, as the gospel is being preached and the Holy Spirit is working, there is a battle going on. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, Satan does not want you to make that choice. He's whispering in your ear right now, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that, you'll never make it. There's a battle going on. That battle has always been there, always will be there. But I want you to know that some people have no interest in following the Lord. That crowd that went and followed him no more, they were just there for the picnic. They were there for the free food. They were there for the sideshow, if you will. When Jesus performed a miracle, that was something to see. They liked the show, but they did not want a changed life. What a disaster. Matthew 7, 21 to 23 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You can talk all you want to, but you know something? There comes time when you either got to fish or cut bait. You either get in and get serious or you're just talking. And God knows the real ones from the fakers. And he uses Satan sometimes to excise those, to expose them. Do you realize, oh my word, that person looked so good. They were a fake. They were a forgery. Not only does he exercise us and excise us, point number three that we did not get to last week that we will do today is to be energized by him. Mike Tyson is no person that you'd want to model your life after, but he was the heavyweight champion of the world, and he had a saying. He said, everyone has a plan until they get hit in the mouth. Boy, isn't that the truth, huh? And then all of a sudden, you're examining your options once you've been hit in the mouth. Winning takes maximum effort. It's not easy to be a winner. You got to work hard at it. I love Jerry Falwell years ago. He had such a way of saying things, and he had such a preacher's voice, and he was just, I loved that guy. And we were looking for some champions, and I wish I could talk like, we're looking for champions, and he built a college and a university looking for champions and incredible things that he accomplished in one man's lifetime. But winning takes maximum effort. One of Satan's tools is mediocrity. Lowering the bar so it won't be too hard. You know why they didn't want to stay in John chapter 6? They were there for the entertainment, the free food, not for the walk behind the plow. Remember, Jesus said, who puts his hand to the plow and turns back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Wow. These are not easy sayings, folks. Everybody said, no, you can't say that, preacher. You can't talk about love. You've got to talk about acceptance. You've got to talk about making people feel good. You say those hard things. In our churches today, we want people to feel comfortable, accepted, no hill to climb, no obstacle to conquer. Come as you are, stay as you are, God will love you. Well, when we accept God, when we accept Jesus Christ, we die to ourselves and we start denying ourselves. And if your walk with Jesus Christ has not required you to deny yourself at times, then I submit to you, you are not walking with Jesus Christ. It's a struggle at times. In case you don't know it, I'm a huge Ronald Reagan fan. And sometimes I was sitting at my computer last night, and if you just Google the humor of Ronald Reagan, it's just such great stuff. So he was on the Johnny Carson show. And they were talking about balancing the budget. And so they looked at, Johnny Carson looked at Ronald Reagan, and they were calling him governor then. He hadn't become president yet. This was in 1976. And he said, Governor Reagan, how do you balance a budget? And only Ronald Reagan could say, he said, balancing a budget is like protecting your virtue. You have to say no at times. And I thought, well, hello, Dolly. Boy, we don't hear about talking protecting our virtue so much anymore, do we? Because that's not popular. No, everything should go. I should be able to do anything I want. Don't you tell me what's right and what's wrong. And sad to say, that's the philosophy that's creeped into our churches. And that is wrong. There is a right. There is a wrong. There is a time for some things, and there is a time that you can't do certain things. And protecting virtue is one of those things. Man, oh man, doesn't that get real quiet when we talk about that? What a shame. Well, let me tell you something. When you come to Christ, there is a time where you start saying no to yourself and yes to the Lord, because you're dying to yourself and you're recognizing that you want to live for Jesus Christ. My Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And if you're carrying your old luggage before Christ, trying to bring it into your Christian faith, you're either not saved or you're miserable or both. It doesn't work. It's exactly right. So here we are, and we recognize the battle that God uses Satan to energize us. When we are at our best, we love a good fight of right versus wrong. David was at his best. David said, is there not a cause? Say that phrase with me. Is there not a cause? When I was younger, I've alluded to this in the past, I was always in a fighting mode. I don't know why. I feel bad about it now. But I've shared this before. I don't do it anymore. I'm 60 years old. I just don't have the energy I used to have. My joints ache. It's hard for me to even make a fist now. My hand don't curl around like they, I just, life. And you're supposed to say, oh, thank you. See, I'm really disappointed in you folks right now that I'm not getting the sympathy that I was hoping for. So I can hardly make a fist anymore. Aww. There you go. Thank you. That's so much better. So in the old days, I'd look at someone first thing when I see a Terry Pangburn, I think I can take him. Now, not now, Terry, but when I was younger. Okay. I used to think that. Young William here, I think I could take him. Not now, but that's how I used to. Whenever I met a man, I'd shake hands with him, and instantly I'd size him up. It's ridiculous. I understand that, but it was just that, I'm telling you, I really think that men should be looking for a challenge, something to conquer. And we've taken that out of society now. And men, if you're not looking at things with ideas of whether you're better or worse, I think God built that into real men to think that they could handle things. At times, we should be overconfident. Now, I was overconfident at times. Sometimes I'd get into certain situations and think, wow, that didn't go well. And my most common emotion when I was younger was surprise, because I was usually wrong on some of the assessments that I made. But anyway, I can relate to young David walking onto that battlefield thinking he could take that giant. I thought that at times. Now, whether I could or not, I was never tested. I have no idea. But I appreciate someone that was not shying away from the battle. Everybody else was. What happened to God's army that they were scared of the enemy? Well, that's another study altogether. Let me tell you something. Is there not a cause? Number one, there are some things that should make us mad. Ephesians 4:26 says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. There are some things that ought to make you angry. If you haven't been angry in a while, your fire has gone out. Build it up again. Certain things should make us mad. Now, this be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath has been applied many times to conflicts in the homes, different things like that, and it's usually talked about in counseling. But I don't believe that that is exactly the entire application of that verse. David didn't look at the Philistine and say, I'm going to go home and pray about this situation. He decided on that day he wanted to confront the situation. There are times when we see certain things, you don't need to pray about them. They need to be confronted before the day is over. I love Phyllis Diller's attitude. She says, she said that let not the sun go down on your wrath means don't go to bed angry, stay up and fight. And obviously that's humorous, but I'm not saying if you've got conflict in your home, sometimes it should be handled before the day is over. Sometimes you need to cool off a little bit, sleep on it, deal with it the next day. There's not everything that has to be handled on a certain day. But be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath, I think is teaching us that there are things at times that ought to so upset us that right there, that needs to be dealt with. A phone call needs to be made. Someone needs to be talked to. And I'm not talking about telling everybody you're upset except for the person you're upset at, which is just the opposite of what you should be doing. If you've got an issue that upsets you between someone else, don't tell anybody else, but go to that one person and talk to them. Churches are split over handling things wrong when we get upset. But man to man, things ought to be talked over. David looked at this and said, I want to confront this situation and I want to do it right now. He was energized by the enemy. Number one, some things should make us mad. Number two, God could have struck him with lightning, but he used man. And God's capable of doing anything without us. But for some odd reason, he chooses to use us. And you know, I'm thankful for that. I'm thrilled that I get to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. God could write the message of his son in the clouds every day so that the whole world could read it. But he uses you and I to live out our faith, to share it, to tell folks, and hopefully that we can make a difference. And I hope it is your desire to make a difference. And to do so, at times, we are called on to confront the enemy, to look him in the eye, and to be energized by the thought that God wants to use me in this battle. Remember, the conflict exercises us, strengthens us. God is preparing you for what is ahead. You know, David, as a young man, spent a lot of time on a hillside watching sheep. What do you do when you're watching sheep? Pretty much nothing. It's not every day the lion comes. It's not every day the bear comes. It's not every day there's any, David talked about in Psalm 23, he leads me to still waters and green pastures, and so you're leading your flock wherever they can find sufficient nutrition for the day. And otherwise, you're doing a lot of this, looking around. But you know what David was doing at times? I think he was sharpening his axe. He was practicing with his slingshot. He had a skill there. And so what do you do when you got nothing to do? You just work on your skills. Abraham Lincoln said, if I had 6 hours to chop down a tree, I'd spend 4 hours first sharpening my axe. I like that. And what you and I need to do when we're not doing anything is to be working on what God has called us to do, to hone our skills, to work on those things, to be reading, to be studying, whatever it is that God has called you on. Every one of us have a will of God in our life. He has put us on this planet for a reason, and that is to serve him, to love him, to stand for him. And I guarantee you, you have a reason for breathing the air that you are now breathing. And it is for the honor and glory of God in that purpose. I don't know what it is. Only God can reveal it to you. I can help you think through some things. But when it's all said and done, you choose the path that God has chosen for you. And in the process, you want to become the best that you possibly can be so that when the day comes for the battle he puts you in, you're ready. Sharpen your axe. Say that with me. Sharpen your axe. So important. And David was ready with a slingshot when the bear came, when the lion came, and when the giant came, he was ready. Why doesn't God kill Satan? Well, to energize us. There are things that should make us mad. God could have used lightning. But David was a team player. And when he was confronting the giant, in verse number 47 in our text this morning, 1 Samuel 17:47, and all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. He could easily have said he will give you into my hand, but he said he will give you into our hands. Be a we person. Did you hear me? Be a we person. You know that I worked in the energy industry for years. real common for me. I still do it some. Walk up to a parts counter. A guy will be standing behind the counter, and I'll ask for a certain item, and he'll say, well, I have this or I have that. You know what, pal? You're an hourly worker. You don't own a thing in this building. You got nothing. Don't tell me I have this. Now, if the owner was there saying that, okay, that's absolutely acceptable. He owned the whole thing. But when you're just an employee, or you're just a servant of Jesus Christ, which would be me, I don't, it's a we thing with the Cornerstone Baptist Church. It's a we thing in the service of the Lord. It's a we thing if we accomplish anything, no one does it alone. If you have the privilege of praying with someone to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, let me tell you something. Someone had done some sowing before you. Someone had done some watering before you. And all of a sudden, you got to reap the harvest. And there's a good chance, even though you prayed that prayer with them, you had very little to do with it. It's a we thing. David said, I'm going to confront you and the whole world's going to know that we won this, that our army did this, that we stood before you and we challenged you and you lost. You're going down. I love that. I love the confidence. In the Lord's battles, you never fight alone. It's a we thing. And I want you to know, Cornerstone, you're in a room full of people that are going through battles. And they need your support. They need your prayer power. They need your concern. And I know it makes a difference. And I hope that we never have to find out whether it makes a difference or not. But for those that are struggling, we need to come around them, beside them, behind them, encircle them, and let them know how important they are. Because my Bible says that when one person is hurting the family of God, the entire body is hurting. Amen. It's very important that we remember one another. We're pretty good at that. We could be better. I personally, as a pastor, am pathetic at that. I could be better. I admire pastors of churches that are just such good pastors. I recognize that I'm not. But for some reason, I'm just thrilled that God has used me in the abilities that I have. But I want you to know that it's this body together as a we army, if you will, that makes such a difference in the lives of those that are hurting. I love the song, A Call to Loyal Soldiers Comes to One and All. Soldiers for the conflict, will you heed the call? Will you answer quickly with a ready cheer? Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? A volunteer for Jesus, a soldier true. Others have enlisted, why not you? Jesus is the captain, we will never fear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? I don't know what battles you've got coming up. I would encourage you, if you're not in a battle right now, to be sharpening your axe. Because I'll tell you, Satan is real, and you will encounter him. And God uses him. And I'm thrilled that he uses him, because I bet that really irritates Satan to pieces. But you and I are on the winning side. And regardless of how it looks, or how votes go, or lives that are lost, or prayers that it seems are unanswered, there is no chance that God is not working. You remain faithful, and God will give the victory. Heavenly Father.